Father, we just want to thank you so much for being our God, for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, you know, I pray that you remove your servant, that you can say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. Father, may we never be the same because we're going to get in your word today. And it is about you. And we praise you and thank you in your son's most holy, most precious, victorious name. And we all say,
praise God.
John chapter 4, God's perspective. Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
If we have God's perspective, does anybody else's perspective really count? Wow. That was a great answer. The question is, how many of us live it? How many of us really live what we know God's perspective is? Another question. Well, no, I'm going to give you an example. I know you're tired of my questions. They are always trick questions. If I walked up to you and gave you a brand new car, a lot of y'all would really thank God if I ever did that. But if I walked up to you and I gave you a new car, what is your responsibility? Did someone say payment? All right. I can give you a car and you got to pay for it. I like that kind of gift.
Take care of it.
Maintain it. Well, I can't hear you. Give thanks. How about believing is yours? I don't think you're going to do any of those other things if you don't first believe that I gave it to you and it's truly yours. Now, if you believe it's yours, it should totally reestablish everything about your relationship with that car. My question to you is, how long are you going to take to believe it's yours? Get the title. We got a guy from Missouri in here trying to mess up my sermon. I hope I give you the title if I'm going to give you the keys, unless I'm down there and down in my old hometown at Mo Brothers Shopping Network. Go to a real fancy restaurant, put on a little red vest. Pretend like I'm one of them valets. And I don't know how to get valet out of valet. That's funny right there. How quick do you have to believe for it to be yours? So you don't have to believe for it to be yours. The fact is, it's yours. I gave it to you. But there's nowhere in the world you're going to be able to take all the advantage of it until you believe. You know what's even more amazing? You can't believe on Monday is yours and not believe on Tuesday is not yours. You can't believe Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is yours and then not believe Friday, Saturday, Sunday is not yours. What type of relationship with that car does that build? Wow, man, you guys are quiet. Do you think I'm trying to set you up? I am. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus Christ dealing with all three of the places that he had to go to: Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Jesus Christ spent the most of his time in his 3 years of ministry, I don't know if you knew that, know this, in Galilee. He couldn't spend very long in Judea. He never would have made 3 years, humanly speaking. He would have been killed immediately if the Pharisees and Sadducees had their way. He would go down to Judea in elevation. The Bible says he goes up to Judea, even though it's south. The elevation was higher. And he would go up to Judea, get all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all the Jewish people and all the Gentiles, rile up, and then he would leave and go back up to Galilee for a while. Did that for 3 years. Very little time in Samaria. It was the rejected area. So in verse 3 of John chapter 4, we see he's leaving Judea because of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he goes through, he says he must go through Samaria. But that was an appointment that he had to take care of in Samaria. And he goes through and he's there in Samaria from verse 4 to verse 45. He leaves there and then he goes up to Galilee. And that's where we want to take up today, where he goes to Galilee. And I pray that today when we leave here, there is going to be a brand new decision that you're going to have to make according to God's perspective. Shall we read the whole section? Everybody know it. Everyone has seen it. Everyone has read it probably 100 times. But familiarity breeds ignorance. So let's see if we can come up with what God really wants to teach us in this short section. Shall we? Verse 46, please. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, just leaving Samaria, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, we in America says Capernaum. It's probably correctly named Caper. Capernaum means the village of Nahum, whoever Nahum was. It's not really explained. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down, heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you would not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down. My son is going to die. Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same time and the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son lives. And he himself believed in his whole house. This again is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, we also understand that verse 54 eliminates a whole bunch of discussion that many of our Christian brothers and sisters over the periods of time has talked about how Jesus did all kinds of miracles when he was growing up and the things he was supposed to do. Jesus did not do anything and move until he was 30. It's for aspect of ministry. God had him wait 30 years before he started his ministry, and he was perfect. Can you imagine how God wants some of us to wait? Amen. Oh, that was a real nice little snicker. Paul probably spent between, 14 to 17 years being molded and growing before he started his missionary journey, his first ministry. 17 years, and he wrote the majority of the New Testament. How long do you think God wants us to get in his word to make sure before we start opening our mouths? God has given us on our face how many mouths? How many ears? Well, don't you think that is a good mathematical formula? To listen twice as much than you talk? Are you glad I'm back? Are we having fun yet? So most of us have read this or heard this before. Can I get an amen? We've seen it. We've talked about it. We've looked at it. We go, wow, man, I know this. Wow, what is Pastor going to teach me today? Come on, Pastor, try. Teach me something. And if you don't teach me something, I'm going to tell you after the service. That's why I got bodyguards. Verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Bam! Excitement! Everybody see it? That is just unbelievable amount of information. And if you don't understand verse 46, you can't understand the rest of the story. Man, for some reason, I got football theme stuck in my mind. Let me see. He came to Cana of Galilee. The boy was sick in Capernaum. Thus, I don't know, but I bet the nobleman was also from Capernaum. Now, what is the difference between Cana and Capernaum? I'm glad you asked. It's probably the way the crow flies, it's probably about 11 miles. He don't have to go through the mountains or the roads and the crooks in it. So it's about 11 miles. The way you travel on roads, probably about 18 miles at the most. Does that help a little bit? I don't think so, because you still got a blank on your face. What that means is, if you have... Back in the day, they walked most of the places they went. Back in the day, because they walked most of the places they went, they was in pretty good shape for walking. They are not like us. Me, I walk to the car and go, why did I do that? Oxygen. Somebody bring the pastor some oxygen. I just walked to the car, and I'm tired. Back in the day, they walked, Jack. And you know who was a serious walker? Jesus. Can I have amen? I think Jesus was a power walker. Can you imagine the disciples trying to keep up with Jesus? Jesus, we have a question, a theological question. You know, trying to get Jesus to stop walking up and down them hills, Jackie. Can you imagine following Jesus up and down those hills? Man, I know he was. And if Jesus got tired, he was God. He just prayed for strength. I'm sorry, we shouldn't enjoy church. It should be one boring time. So a good walker could probably make the trip from Cana to Capernaum, or from Capernaum to Cana, in probably about 5 hours. The Jewish day ended at 6 p.m. So they could probably make that walk in about 5 hours. Now, we find out that it's a nobleman. Can anyone tell me what type of lifestyle do you think the nobleman had? He probably had a pretty good life. My boy, he probably had some pretty good horses too. Probably some of the best horses available to him. Because the Bible says that this nobleman, this technical financial encourager, a basilicus, a man with power, first under Herod. Now, if he is the basilicus, the number one man, the financial advisor that took care of all of Herod's household, he probably had access to some really fine horses that's in shape. Not like my horses. Can I have an amen? You walk towards my horses right now with a saddle, they just lay down. That's not why I'm here. Grain. Back in the day, horses was in shape because that was a travel. So going at a slow pace with a horse that's in shape, the basilicas can make the trip probably in less than 2 hours. Okay, you follow me? Are we on this together? Okay, Cana, Capernaum, about 18 miles, walking 5 hours on a horse, probably less than 2 hours. That's the only way you can understand this story. God's perspective. When God says something to you, how long do you have to believe it? When God gives you a promise, how long does it take for you to believe it? When you say it, now check this out. I want to get a little personal. How long does it take for me to look in the mirror and believe I'm a black man? Immediately. It should be immediate, because if not, we got some problems. You are white, some of you. If you look in the mirror, how long do you have to figure out, I am a Caucasian? Because if you don't get that straightened out and walk into a bunch of brothers and use the wrong word, you will be black. Can I have an amen? Did I say that?
Yes, sir.
It came out loud. I'm sorry. Now, when you accept Jesus Christ, now hold on now. Don't lose me. When you accept Jesus Christ, that means that you became a believer. Is that not by definition what you and I became when we accepted Jesus Christ? We became a
believer.
A believer in what? You see. How long does God expect you to live up to your new definition? As a believer. How long does God say it's okay for you not to live up to your new title, believer? That is an awesome, awesome title, believer. It is he who believes. It is she who believes. It is we who believes in the way of God and the things that God has said. It is we who are obedient to what we say we believe. It is we who don't make excuses for not believing what God says we need to believe, because we are believers. I better leave that alone, huh? Get back to the verses. You guys are getting too serious. And church is nothing but feeling good about yourself. Remember that. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto them. Evidently he was where, if he heard Jesus came to Cana, where was he in order to go to Jesus? Capernaum. Thank you. You guys are on this. I don't know why I'm preaching this if you already know it. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him. And he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of being a little bit sick. He was at the point of death. Question. What kind of influence do you think this guy has to travel some 18 miles, probably in a chariot, behind some really fine horses, get there in a couple of hours, get an audience with Jesus when there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands who wants to see Jesus? What would make him go thinking he is going to get an audience with Jesus? Did that make him a believer? Did he believe that if I go, I can get an audience with the nifty Nazarene? Why did you come to Jesus? Did you believe if I come to Jesus, he's going to forgive me of my sins? So believing in what Jesus can do help you learn to believe in Jesus. Huh. So we're no different than this guy here, right? Ah, you believers, man. You are like the poison Kool-Aid to me. I would drink you every day if I could, because you are life to the world and you really don't know it. Do you know how negative it is out there, and what the financial situation and what the job situation and how scared people are? And there is thousands of us as believers walking around acting like them. We are believers. Amen. I am not going to let a non-believer outdo me. He came to Jesus and said, "Sir, I need you to come down here with me to heal my boy." Uh-oh. If you're going to believe, you better believe correctly. Can I have an amen?
Yes, sir.
If you're going to believe, you better believe correctly. Number one, he's not believing correctly about Jesus. Number one, he says, look, my son is 18 miles away or so. He's down in Capernaum. He's dying. I'm up here. I'm a nobleman. I'm a basilicus. I work for Herod. I'm the number one man of Herod. I got all the fine doctors at my disposal. I got all the money. I got all the nurses. I have all the expertise in medicine at my disposal. And none of them does me any good when it comes to my son. Now, which believer are you? Are you the believer in what you have? Or are you a believer in Jesus Christ who has you? You see, if you believe in what you have, you're going to depend upon what you have more than you're going to depend on Jesus. And if you depend on what you have more than what you depend on Jesus, Jesus is going to put you in a position where what you have ain't going to do you any good.
Okay. All right.
Now, did I say you shouldn't have?
No.
No, I did not. Because if you have, you may be moved by God to share it with me. I never said don't have. But did I say ever depend upon what you have more than you depend on Jesus? See, you're going to believe in something, guys. But if your definition is believer, what is keeping you from believing? What makes that worry come about when we got the greatest problem solving all entire world? What makes you get uptight when you got the one that can unscrew any situation and make it loose? Are you a believer? Then let's make a decision today to believe the way God said we ought to believe. Because this man doesn't believe the way God said believe. His thought says Jesus cannot help him Jesus cannot help his son unless he comes with him back to Capernaum. Distance is a problem. Can't hear you. His son's about to die. Time is of the what?
Essence.
I like that big word. In my neighborhood, you better hurry up. You better hurry. My boy's dying. I didn't come up here all this way for nothing now. You're my last hope. And you need to come back down here with me to get my boy healed. Can I ask you guys a question? If you can trust God today in a situation, can you trust him in the next 3 years in that same situation? Come on now, church. Don't you lie to the pastor. Don't you lie to me. We can trust God for a while, but when our faith runs out, we don't think God's good for it. That's why we give up. That's why we had church discipline today. When you think it's over, when you don't think anything can change, when you think that I've had it, you think that I put up with it long enough, doesn't matter what God says, doesn't matter what God's perspective is. But you are the one to say you are a believer. And if we are believers, then we go with God's perspective, regardless of where it puts us, because we know in the end, God has the best.
Amen.
It's one thing about church in this service, isn't it? That we can only go so long and the time runs out. But I'm not quitting. I threw you off, didn't I? We got a little bit more we got to do before we quit, but this is just setting you up for the book of John. Can you imagine what we're going to learn when we walk through verse by verse, chapter by chapter? I'm sorry, I shouldn't get excited about the word, but there's some good stuff in here. Then Jesus said to him, oh, you want me to come down with you? Huh? You want me to go to Capernaum? I just got here in Cana. I may want to sit around and bask in the whole first miracle that I did. Turning the water into wine, man. I hadn't had many people been able to come up and talk to me about, whoa, that was sweet. And you want me to leave? I'm just your candy machine, huh? Have you followed me? Have you followed me before this? Were you my man? Were you my main coon boom? Were you my ace dog in the streets before this happened? Were you following me? Were you supporting my ministry? And out of the clear blue sky, you gonna walk up to me? The nifty Nazarene, Mr. Cure-All, can do all things that you think, and you're going to tell me that I need to move out of my schedule and come and get on your schedule just because you're in a rush? Just because your boy's dying? Now, folks, I don't know about you. See, you and I sitting here, and we're reading this from the third perspective. But what if you're this man who just traveled this way, knowing your boy's dying, you ask Jesus, and he comes back with a smart answer to you? Oh, so you want me to cure your son so you can believe, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says the Jews look for and the Gentiles look for. Jews look for signs. Gentiles look for miracles. Oh, you want a sign of the wonder. You want me to come down with you? You want me to get out of my perspective. You want me to get out of my schedule. You want me to move from where I need to be. And you want me to come with you. Whoa, my. Guess what? The guy, I love the nobleman. You got it. You got to love the nobleman. Jesus Christ is giving him a theological thesis, and this man's mind is on his son. He has not taken his mind off of the purpose. He's there. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Watch, look what he says. He says, the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down. My boy's dying. That's all I know. I need you to come with me. Jesus looked at him and says, I'm not going. Your boy lives. Bye. You know why you and I sometimes don't want to go to Jesus in prayer? Because we may get one of these kind of answers. Can't hear you.
Amen.
Oh, you really want, Jesus, I'm really hurting and I need you to come through right now. Jesus says, I know you're hurting, but I got a little secret for you. It'll be another 3 months because you need it. Oh, Jesus, this is your servant. I've given you my life. I've gone into preaching even though I didn't want to. I sacrificed it for you. Ministry's fine, Lord. It's just the people that's in it that cause problems. And I have dedicated my life to you, Lord. I have gone without. I've done without. And Lord, what do you do for me? You give me cancer! Oh, and that a loving God? You bet it is. Absolutely 100% awesome. You know why? Because evidently I needed cancer. You know why I can rejoice? Because I say I'm a believer. Isn't that just awesome? I am a believer. What are you? Well, let me see. Go. Your boy lives. Check this out. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Your son lives. Go. How quick did this man have to believe what Jesus said? Okay. Did he fall down on his knees, grab Jesus by the leg and say, I ain't going without you? Look, man, my boy's dying. You know, don't give me no theological lessons. I need some action. You ever been there? Oh, come on now. You ever been there? Jesus says, I would take care of all your needs. How long you got to believe that? I will not allow you to be tempted from what you can stand. Do you believe that? I am everything you need. I am the air you breathe. You believe that? You're a believer. Do you believe that? Bye. Okay, I'm gone. Is that sweet? No, you ain't seen sweet yet. How far is Cana and Capernaum? He says, verse 51, and as he was now going down. Oh, wait a minute. And he went, he believed, and he lived. But verse 51 says, and as he was now going down. Why is it that as he was now going down? That means there's been a difference in time. As he was now going down, when he heard earlier that his son was okay, that's been a time change. Well, Pastor, I think you are imposing your thoughts upon the scripture personally. I don't think you can prove that. I can't prove it, but the Bible can. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Check this out, jack-o'-lantern. As he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, your son lived. I got a question for you. Why are the servants out looking for him? Now, what I've heard explanation and what many of the commentaries will tell you is that when he got better, they took the trip and started coming to tell him that your son's better. Guess what? I don't think that's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I think there's a lot more to this than you and I better figure out and know, because this is an example for you and I on what a believer is. As he was now going down, his servant was looking for him. I believe the servants was looking for him because they're wondering what in the world is holding him up. You know your boy was about to die. You knew you had to go get Jesus and get back in case he did die. And you're not back yet. And I bet they thought something had happened to him. Let me prove it to you. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him that son lived. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. What? Did anyone hear what I just said? I'm not having a stroke. I'm just trying to be funny. But if I ever have a stroke preaching a heart attack, y'all run up here. Y'all be call 911. No, you come up and beat on my chest. When did he get back? Yesterday at the 7th hour. Now, if the Jewish day ends, it's a 12-hour day. If it ends at 6 o'clock, what time did it start? 6 a.m. So if you start counting from 6 a.m., what time is it when you get to the 7th hour? 1 p.m. Same time that Jesus told him, he said, that your son lives. Now, if he's walking, ready for this, Debbie? Ready? Ready for this? Okay. Now, if he takes off walking at 1 p.m. to get home, he could be home by 6 p.m. the same day. True or false? Now, if he has a horse or chariots with in shape, he could probably be home before 3 p.m. That man believed Jesus so much. Because I want to ask you, how much stress do you think he's been under knowing his son's dying? How much worry? How many times and how many things he's tried to do? How many people has he gone to see? How many times has he had sleepless nights? And someone tells you your son is okay, and you're going to wait till the next day before you start home? How much belief do you think that man had in Jesus to go and rest before he goes home? And that's why I believe the servants are out looking for him. Because I believe since he didn't show up that night, the same day he left, they think something happened to him. They're out looking for him, and he says, oh, no, I'm fine. What time did he get better? 1 o'clock yesterday. Okay. And it says, and then the man believed in Jesus and his whole family. When we go through the book of John, we're going to take this section, and we're going to talk about what a faithful father is. I want to ask you a question. This man was a non-believer and believed Christ more than we who say we are believers did. This non-believer believed in the word of Christ so much that he rested in the word of God. How many of us sitting in this room today talk to the pastor can truly say that as a believer, I want to commit to walking out of here being exactly what I say I am, and to be able to rest in just the word of God? Jesus said to him, well, you want a sign? You want a wonder? You want a miracle? I ain't gonna give you neither one of them. You can forget that. But I will give you my word. Your boy's okay. And my word has to be enough for you. How about you and I? Is this word good enough? Well, sometimes it's sad to say it isn't. You make the decision now. Is God's word good enough? If you are a believer.